Hi, everybody. Randy Beamer again with News 4 San Antonio. Thanks for listening to San Antonio's Voice, the podcast. We get to talk with all kinds of people around the area, all kinds of stuff. But today, very, very important, very topical, what a lot of people are so concerned about right now, vaccine, how we're doing with COVID and distributing the vaccine, and where you can get it, what the outlook is for San Antonio. And joining us as well is Sal Del Cid, our assignments editor. Sal?
Hey, Randy. Yeah, well, today's guest is definitely an expert on the vaccine allotments here in San Antonio. He's the chief medical officer at University Health, Dr. Brian Alsip. And I thought you guys had a pretty interesting conversation, Randy. He mentioned the work that University Health is doing over at the Wonderland of the Americas Mall and whether or not they might be able to expand the amount of vaccines that they're administering. It might be, maybe not. We'll see. But he also brought up the Super Bowl, which just happened, and the rodeo, which is about to take place, and how those two events might affect San Antonio. And, of course, as you mentioned, he talked about the difficulty, the challenge of actually getting a vaccine appointment. A lot of good stuff in there, Randy.
And I think also he talked about the outlook for the amount of vaccines, the number of doses that we're getting here in San Antonio and will get in the future. I do think it was a really good conversation that we see him on TV now and then on those briefings every night, but we don't get to really talk with him in depth. And he talked about, very important for all of us here, schools and whether the transmission of the virus is as bad as some people believe, or whether you should send your kids back to school, have them feel safe, how you should feel safe around town, and those new variants and what they're going to mean to us that were just confirmed last couple of nights. So, again, hope you like this. Hope you enjoy it. This is Dr. Brian Alsip of University Health, and this is San Antonio's Voice, the podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Alsip, for joining us today. We really appreciate your time. First of all, tell us about what we have seen over the past few weeks here in San Antonio and what it means, you think, in terms of the numbers of infections that we've seen, as well as how the vaccinations are going.
Well, the good news of the infections is they are starting to decline to some extent. You know, the rate of decline is not as fast as we would like, but we've seen certainly in the hospitals of a reduction in the number of inpatient COVID positive individuals, which is very helpful for our capacity and for our staffing. And at the same time, we have had at least a continuous supply of vaccines to our community, although not as much as we would like. Most of those going to the three main vaccination hubs that are currently operating. And at least for those that are we're receiving, we're getting them into people's arms.
And now people might be a little confused if we can kind of just clarify the different groups here. You have WellMed, you have University Health, you have UT Health, which is confusing to people just right there. What are you in charge of right now?
So University Health, our primary mass vaccination location is at Wonderland Mall. And we opened that on the 4th of January and been giving COVID vaccines since, both Pfizer and Moderna, depending on what's available. Most recently, the state has been shipping a lot more Pfizer vaccine. But you know, as recently as last week, we started giving vaccines on two separate floors and have been very busy. Yesterday, we gave out over 4,000 vaccines to individuals.
And now everybody's talking about how frustrated officials are about not having as much vaccine as you'd like. Now, you went from the lower floor at Wonderland to both floors. How many more vaccines are you able to do now to give? And how many more could you give if you had more vaccines?
Well, we may be at our current capacity at that limit. You know, there's a significant logistical operation to be able to administer that many vaccines. It's not just those who are getting the shots. It's also folks in the front end registering, in the back end checking out for follow-up appointments, those that are managing the lines, those that are observing those who have to wait after the vaccine. So really there's a lot of effort and a lot of staffing that's necessary. I think we've really hit a sweet spot with Wonderland. But to have that efficiency, you really have to have a lot of those resources in one location.
And what about for those people out there, and the big questions that we get is, how can I schedule something more easily? And everybody has a different way of scheduling right now, the big three that are doing this. What do you tell people? And what do you see in the future that might make things more efficient?
Well, you know, right now it's still a weekly event. And the way that cycle works is the federal government gives their allocations to the states. State of Texas has their expert vaccine allocation panel meeting every Monday. They decide how many vaccines are going where. Those are put into the automated system for ordering. We find out usually at the end of a given week what is coming to us, but that doesn't actually arrive until the next Monday. So you really don't know until any given week how much vaccine you're going to be receiving, and you don't see it until the following Monday. So I think everyone who is wanting the vaccine is frustrated. I think those of us that are administering vaccines are frustrated. That's the cadence now. The expectation is going forward that that may not change in terms of the sequence. However, the amount of vaccine might go up as the federal government ships some of their allotments that are being distributed to the states. Texas might get more. And so the hope is that as more vaccine becomes available, not only could we give more potentially, but it could come available in other providers in the community, particularly pharmacies.
Yeah, what is your sense watching what's going on in Washington, what the Biden administration is hoping to do in the Defense Production Act, that kind of thing? Where do you see us 2-4 weeks, 2-4 months down the road?
Well, the first big change may come with the potential emergency use authorization of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I believe they're scheduled to be reviewed by the FDA on the 26th of this month. And if it's like the first two vaccines, that authorization may come shortly thereafter. We know that Janssen has stockpiled a fair amount of the vaccine in anticipation of it being authorized, which could release it to the community. I don't know how much that is nationally or how much would come to Texas, but it certainly would offer a lot more volume to us than we're currently using.
What about the variants that are out there? And people are, you know, hearing different things every day about what the second shot would mean for me, whether it's going to be as effective against the UK variant or the South African variant. What do you tell people about how concerned they should be?
Well, we are certainly watching the variants story cautiously. We don't know what's going to happen with those. I don't think anyone knows. What we are trying to emphasize is the importance of not only continuing with the public health measures we've been doing, but get vaccinated as soon as you can when it's your turn. There is still a fair amount of efficacy with the existing vaccines with the variants, although it's less in most of the studies. We know that both Pfizer and Moderna are working on potential boosters. We don't know what that would look like or when those would be available. But I think the vaccine manufacturers are trying to keep ahead of this in addition to those of us that are trying to give the vaccines to people that we currently have.
What are your biggest concerns right now of what we're seeing in the community? We just had a Super Bowl, and every big event, we seem to have a spike show up a couple of weeks down, and then deaths as well.
Yeah, you're right. There tends to be about a 2-week lag between a significant event and when we start to see those cases rise in the community, in the hospitals, and then potential fatalities as well. Super Bowl was a big scenario that could have brought folks together. We're still going to have some sort of a rodeo here in our town that I think a lot of us are very concerned about that might be ramifications of that. So each one of these opportunities for social gatherings also brings with it the possible likelihood of more cases in our community.
We've heard talk across the country about schools and whether they should open at the level that they are. Here in San Antonio, we've heard a recommendation that schools open at a limited capacity, though most schools are above that. What do you tell parents? We hear that the transmission rate at schools is very low, and that the risk there relative to the rest of the community is low.
Yeah, I think we've learned, you know, over the past year from the data that have come through studies that schools, if managed well, can be a better controlled environment than just being out in the public, right? They have an opportunity to limit class size. They have an opportunity to mandate masking. They have an opportunity to screen folks for symptoms that I think lends itself to controlling the situation a lot better, which is probably one of the reasons why many of the schools have seen lower incidence of cases, and it's a better opportunity to keep those cases low. Now, you have to be diligent about all those measures, but if so, I think many of the schools have shown up to certain capacity levels that that's been effective.
We haven't really talked much in the past several months about the stress on hospitals. Partly we haven't been able to go in and show people what's going on in hospitals, how tough it is. How do you describe the stress on the people that you work with there, as well as the system itself and what it means for the rest of the people who need medical care?
Yeah, I think it's real. I think folks that have been doing this now for the better part of a year are tired. I think it's a long process. This marathon we've been running has now become an ultra marathon. But there's also good news. I think the good news is that we have a significant number of our staff, the majority of which who wanted one, has received a vaccine. You know, as many, in fact, almost all states prioritize the phase 1A healthcare workers as a priority. That provides a sense of, I think, comfort, although none of them are 100%. The other is we've learned a lot about this disease over the past 12 months and how to manage it, how to take care of these patients, how to protect ourselves and our staff and other patients. I think that confidence also lends itself well to helping people feel better about the work environment.
And we at certain times have heard about the number of nurses and other staff that have come in from outside the community. Where are we on that right now? I don't think that's been really reported as much as it might be, because that figures into that available bed space, right?
It does. Yeah, you can have beds. You don't have people to staff those beds. You can't really use them. And we've been really fortunate. You know, here in San Antonio, I think we still have about 1,300 deployed staff across all the hospitals and health systems that we've benefited from. And most of those through state contracts, they've been able to bring them into our facilities. And they've been great in terms of being able to provide that additional staffing that's allowed us to expand our capacity in managing these patients.
Are you still seeing people, or is there a problem with people showing up at a vaccination site when they should have made a reservation or a call? How do you deal with that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think that happens at all of the hub locations. You know, people are desperate. They're very concerned. You know, what we try to do is identify those folks early. And if they've showed up too early, try to ask them to come back for their appointed time, because we don't want them waiting in line for a long period of time for the most part, because really is there's a domino effect. And, you know, folks have signed up through a very it's an organized system, but it's one that, you know, only has a certain number of slots. And we really have to allocate the vaccine that we have available for those individuals to make sure that we have enough for everybody.
How about community labs and the importance of testing here? The nonprofit group that's really helped spread free asymptomatic testing in schools and others. How important is the testing right now, and where are we in that? Do we need to do more?
Yeah, I mean, I think testing continues to be extremely important. You know, it has been from the very beginning, before we actually had anything that we could actually rely on. And as those options expanded, it also provided a level of comfort. You know, in addition to, as I mentioned, for our staff, the fact that you know, we're immunizing folks and we know more about the disease. You know, we're screening every patient that gets admitted to our facility, so we know what their COVID status is as well. And so testing is an important tool amongst the many that we're using to mitigate the effects of this disease.
How about the possibility of reinfection? We've heard more and more about that recently, different stories about people having it, say, a year ago in March, and then getting it again in the fall and getting it, you know, with even different symptoms and maybe more serious. What is the threat of that from where you've...
Well, you know, even before the discussion of variants, there were reported cases of reinfection. And, you know, there's still not a lot of certainty around what natural immunity might provide in terms of duration. Some of the estimates are 4 to 5 months, which is why we're still recommending you get the vaccine if you've had COVID infection. But those early reports of reinfection, you know, were confirmed by genetic studies. So we probably don't have a good sense of those. Now with the variants and there being a potential difference in the virus, there's also concern that people could get reinfected. We just don't know enough yet about what that looks like in an environment, particularly one where you've had a significant number of people who are immunized.
And how about being able to spread the virus? Because people now getting the vaccine may think, well, I've had the vaccine, I'm good, I can take my mask off, or I've had the virus, I'm good, I can take my mask off, but then other people around them don't know what to do. Once you've had the vaccine, what does that mean?
Unfortunately, it means you need to keep doing what you've been doing. You know, none of the clinical trials examined for specific evidence of reducing transmission. There are some recent studies that looked on a couple of vaccines. AstraZeneca came out with something last week that they said they feel like it reduced the likelihood of transmission, but the data aren't solid. And we know from the experience of many other vaccines, even those that have a high protective efficacy, one could still transmit the infection, and that's a concern. So we really need people to continue with the mitigation measures we've been doing. I know folks are tired of wearing masks and keeping distancing, but you know, we cannot guarantee that just because you've got a vaccine, you can't spread the infection to other people.
How about the reluctance of some people to get the vaccine, especially in different communities, minority communities especially? Well, how do you convince people to do that?
Go ahead. I think you have to provide information. You know, you can't assume that folks are going to accept something without giving them information that's both valid, but you're also transparent about what you know and what you don't know. The good news so far is that the vaccines that we currently have available have a high efficacy, at least in our current state. They tend to have a very low side effect profile. People do have some side effects, but they generally aren't severe, and they usually only last 2 or 3 days at most. I think that's what tends to be most convincing. We have a lot of folks that maybe have passed on the first round of vaccines just to see how it's going. And you know, they see their friends or their family members have gotten immunized and doing just fine. And so they've then decided, okay, well now maybe it's something that I want to actually pursue. So I think it really depends on the individual.
And you do monitor people after they get the vaccine. I was down at the Alamo Dome and they monitor people for 15 minutes, a half hour. They've had none where they actually had had serious side effects. At Wonderland Mall, are you seeing the same kind of thing?
Yeah, we've been very fortunate in that regard. You know, we've very few instances where we've had to send somebody, you know, by ambulance because of a really serious reaction. Most of them really don't have reactions, particularly in those 15 minutes. You know, the side effects that you get in the first couple of days tend to happen later anyway. It's really, you know, the requirement to make sure you don't have a severe anaphylactic reaction after that vaccine dose. But after that, you know, we let people go.
How do we compare with other cities? I'm sure you're kind of keeping an eye on other cities, not just in Texas, but across the country. How are we doing? What do we need to work on, you think?
Well, I think as a whole, Texas is doing very well. Obviously, we're the second largest state in terms of population, and that's how many of the allocations are given. So in terms of numbers, you know, we're certainly high. But also in terms of percent distributed, I think we're doing very well as a state. So from that perspective, I think Texas has done a really good job. We've expanded through the EVAP, the Expert Vaccine Allocation Panel. You know, the recommendations fairly early for, you know, what they call the phase 1B, not just 65 and older, but those 60 and older with certain medical conditions. Some states have not done that. So they're a little bit more limited in terms of their distribution. So I think by getting out of the gate a little bit earlier, we've made it an opportunity for more people to get vaccinated.
And just a few last quick questions here. I know we're in tier 1A and 1B right now. How long do you think it'll be before we get to a next group, and how big that group might be?
Well, it's hard to say because I think it all depends on the vaccine supply. And the state's probably monitoring, you know, how much more of the phase 1B group that we have. You know, if you look at Bexar County, I think some of the early estimates that MetroHealth was quoting was around 1 million people that were in that phase 1B just for Bexar County. And so we have a ways to go in our community if you want to, you know, immunize at least the majority of those individuals or at least offer it to them before we shift to the next round. And I think the state's following that closely.
And I know people ask you, okay, when are we going to get back to normal? It's a big guess. It's a, you know, and people want to know, oh, it's going to be 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months. At this point, the way the vaccination's going, the outlook for the number of people who will get vaccinated, what, you know, when are we going to get back to some semblance of normalcy and maybe take our masks off?
It's hard to remember what normal was, right?
Yes.
I think it's going to be a while. And I know that's a hard truth people don't want to hear, but, you know, we're going to have to continue to work hard on this immunization program, not just for our community, our state, but this country. And even then, you know, people have to remember that this is a worldwide pandemic. It's really what defines a pandemic. And it's going to be a while for a lot of those other countries that aren't as well resourced to get their vaccine supply, which, you know, could extend the duration of this. And so people just have to be patient. I think there's a lot of good news around what the vaccine offers in terms of protecting individuals. But we have to really keep doing what we've been doing to make sure that we do everything we can to really reduce the likelihood of the effects of this disease.
And finally, one of the things that we're seeing now is talk of super sites, for mass vaccinations. And I don't know how much that's been talked about here in San Antonio, how feasible, how much that would affect you, whether your people would have to do that. But how big a game changer could that be in San Antonio and across the country?
Well, it could be very helpful, particularly if it's organized well and there's this an adequate supply of consistent vaccine. I think the state announced yesterday they were potentially looking at sites initially in Dallas and Houston in collaboration with FEMA, so they may start there. I know in places in Arizona already have a site that's working 24 hours. So these are definitely on the agenda for the new administration. And if I think, again, if they're set up well and well-resourced, really could help complement a lot of the efforts that we've already set up.
What are the questions that you are tired of by now and you wish people would say, okay, this is the last time I would really like to answer this question, to let them, to give them that one final answer that they always ask you?
Yeah, I think you've already asked it. I think the getting back to normal question is the biggest one. You know, people really have been going through this for a long time, but collectively we've been going through it for a long time. But there's some sense of good knowing that we're not alone and we're in it together. And so I think we know what to do, but we just have to be diligent.
And the toughest thing for you personally through all of this, we get to see you now and then on the daily briefings. Now that you're something of a celebrity on the news now and then, what on the flip side, you're working a lot too. What is toughest personally as you go through this?
Well, I'm working a lot, but so are millions of other people. You know, this is something that's affected pretty much everyone in their walk of life. And certainly within the healthcare industry, we're shouldering a big burden, but a lot of people have been adversely affected. So, you know, I think it's important to remember how it's affected the lives of a lot of people. But at the end of the day, I can see, you know, the great good that's happening. I can walk the halls and see, you know, great outcomes for patients. I can go to the Wonderland and see how grateful people are to receive an immunization during these times. And so that's really fulfilling to me and to so many of our staff.
And I should have asked one more question I meant to ask about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The efficacy seems to be, I don't want to say markedly less, but it is less. If I'm up for a vaccine and I have a chance to either go and get the Pfizer or Moderna or a Johnson & Johnson, what do you tell me?
I would say get the one that you can get soonest. Because at the end of the day, you know, I think they will vary over time. And as we've discussed, we don't know what's happened with the variants. There's supposition that the Janssen, because it's a single dose, had they actually tested it as a double dose, would be just as effective as Moderna and Pfizer. And so the reality is they all of them offer a significant amount of protection from the individual getting ill. And I would encourage them to get whatever vaccine they can.
And you've had the shots, both?
Yes, I've had a full dose series. That's correct.
And how does that make you feel?
You know, the first fine. Yeah. You know, I think it was a great sense to have that. But it really hasn't changed my behavior much. I'm still wearing a mask. I'm still distancing when necessary, doing all the precautions that I tell people they have to do. But at the end of the day, I think it's led to a collective sense of additional protection, particularly for our staff that are, you know, front and center, face to face with these COVID positive patients. So we all feel it's a great additional tool.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Dr. Brian Alsop. We appreciate what you do here in the community and what you do on TV, letting people know what's going on. Just don't get a big head being on TV so much. I know what that's like. Thanks very much.
Randy. Appreciate it.